In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. A man is incomplete until he is married, and then he's finished. A woman is incomplete until she's married, and then she is finished. I sometimes begin my marriage homilies like this to open up hearts with humor and open up the profound sacrament of marriage. And of course, the humor is in the double meaning of the word finished. A man is incomplete until he is married and then he's finished, or a man is incomplete until he is married and then he's finished, right? But the fact for Christians is that both is true for men and women. And you won't hear this at a Disney wedding, and your friend who married you at the beach probably won't say that either. But our church and our scriptures counsel us that marriage is something of a death of who you once were as a self-centered single, but at the same time, a fulfillment of who you are called to be as an other-centered spouse and parent. And you don't even have to be married to another person to benefit from this deep wisdom. If you're married to your work or your vocation, or you're just married to the idea of living a good life, you'll find the same pattern, that we must give ourselves away in order to find ourselves, that we must lose our lives in order to gain it. If but a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. That's what our scriptures and Jesus say 10 times in 10 beautiful and different ways. And that's what Jesus' last holy week, his crucifixion and his resurrection, proved beyond a shadow of a doubt. Man is incomplete until he is married, married to God, and then he is finished. Dead to ego and to sin, but complete as a newly born son or daughter of God. This mystery is so fundamental that it fell from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ as his last words from the cross. What did he say? He said, "It is finished." And it holds the same double meaning. Perhaps the grapar, the old Armenian, will help you out. Amen inch gatariale. Yes, Jesus' earthly life is finished, but more deeply, God's plan is accomplished. His Father's arranged marriage between Jesus and the sons and daughters of men is finished, is complete, is consummated. Jesus is the bridegroom, it says throughout the scriptures, and you and I, we are his bride, the church. And our union has been solemnized and consummated by Jesus' love for us, which is stronger than even death. So that we might live happily ever after, however, in this marriage, we have to learn to love as Jesus loved us, dying to self and living through God forever. And this, of course, was Jesus' entire focus for Holy Week. This was Jesus' demonstration. It was a real-time experiment, really, that love is greater than sin, and how to die to live. And the temptation for us on Easter morning, when we know how the story turned out, is to rush to the fulfillment, the victory, the new life, the Easter bunny and the eggs, and skip over the service and the sacrifice which gets us there. And Jesus says it is finished, so we probably also want to be finished like a fine piece of painted porcelain, and not first finished like a smashed plate of glass. But God seems to bless only that which is broken, or which knows it's broken. So there must be a turning from sin, a dying of self to be born into new life with God. So though it's finished from God's side, God is not finished with us. And that's why Holy Week looks a lot more like a shattered piece of glass than it looks like a finely painted piece of porcelain. Jesus is literally broken into pieces by his executor, literally. His disciples fall apart, shattered, scattered. Holy Week is the most powerful mirror into human nature and sin, and so it's a mirror that's hard to look into because we're broken. Holy Week in the Armenian church has us sing the song of Judas called Love Silver, because who among us has not put profit or self-preservation or fear before allegiance to God? I have. Holy Week in the Armenian church puts Peter's words and actions in our mouth. He bravely says he'll follow Jesus wherever he goes, even unto death. And then, when he's arrested, Peter denies him three times. I don't know you. How many times have we denied knowing Jesus, not out of pain of our lives, but just embarrassment, just fear of being judged, or plain apathy? Yes, as often as we look into the mirror of Scripture and church tradition and confess this brokenness, if we do that, that's the good news. If we confess that we are finished and at the end of ourselves, it's then that we make room in our hearts for the living and loving grace of God. Man is incomplete until he is married and then he's finished. You see, learning to know and love God and love others as he loved us is not some part of our lives, it's the whole thing of life. Our defining purpose and our end, and it's why we were created in the first place. God delights in taking handfuls of dirt, men and women, and turning them into vessels, temples of his grace and of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the utter brokenness of Jesus' followers then and now is not an obstacle for God. Jesus loves the unlovable, he touches the untouchable, he forgives the unforgivable, and he implores us to learn to love one another as I have loved you. Men and women are incomplete until they are married to God and learn to love as he does. And only then are we finished. The broken pieces of our lives redeemed and rearranged as newborn sons and daughters of the resurrection. Now and always. And unto the ages of ages, Amen. Christos, Haryavi Merelots, Orthniale Harutunin Christos. See, Christ is risen from the dead. Blessed is the resurrection of Christ.